listening to Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.
You know, time was when we believed that our brain was in charge of everything in human life. Actually, that wasn't so long ago. In fact, probably a lot of people still believe that the brain is in charge. Well, our brain does a lot of things, but we've got at least two other brains, one in our heart and one in our gut. And today on Full Power Living, we're exploring the power of the heart with Baptiste Dupop as we talk about our heart as the source of true power and understanding. Welcome to Full Power Living, which is making your life easier by helping you understand the power and importance of human emotions expressed through our wide variety of guests and programs. And as you know, we broadcast over Blog Talk Radio and Emotional Pro and distribute through iTunes. Baptiste Dupop, who was born in Brussels, Belgium, is a spiritual explorer, an author. After graduating from the University of Tilburg Law School in the Netherlands, he traveled around the globe, and as I understand, he still is traveling around the globe. He traveled around the globe to interview the world's greatest teachers for the film and the book, The Power of the Heart. Baptiste Dupop, welcome to Full Power Living.
Well, Eileen, thank you so much for having me on your show, and I love the name of your show, Full Power Living, because that's exactly what the power of the heart is about.
Expand on that. What do you mean, full power living? What do you mean by it?
Well, I think this is the best way of saying it. One of the interviewees in our project is Paulo Coelho. He's a world-famous author, and he said it beautifully. He said, you will never, ever reach your full potential if you don't open your heart. And I believe that the heart is the seat of our soul, is a source of intelligence and wisdom that connects you to your authentic power, to the source of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So in that way, it's completely aligned with full power living.
Yes, yes. Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, that I've been a psychotherapist for 42 years, and I worked right where you are in Marin County for the last 42 years, and I learned early on through painful and quite negative emotions that I had just how important emotions are, and I've been spending my life opening my own heart up, so I really enjoyed reading yours. And to make the movie and to write the book, you had to open to your own heart's promptings, did you not?
Oh, yes, certainly. Certainly. I want to say one more thing about what you just said. There's a Sioux saying, the longest journey you will ever have is from your head to your heart. And it's not because, you know, we are stupid. And it's not because we're impatient, because it just takes time. And what I've known from interviewing all these people for this project is that they all had to go through a crisis first in order to connect with their heart, because they all, you know, tried to live the conventional way. They all had a conventional education and a conventional way of being in the world, and then all of a sudden there's a crisis occurring in their lives, and all of their conventional tools don't work anymore, and so they are forced into their hearts. And you know, it's often not a choice. It is a choice later on when you know what it is, and then decide every day to live from that space. I just wanted to say that as a response to what you just said.
That's interesting, because I remember a number of years ago coming to the conclusion that so many people were running their lives from their brains.
Yes.
That if I only followed my feelings, I would offset a few of those people.
Yes.
It took me 2 years to do that, however, to make, if we talk about a long journey, it was a 2-year journey to make that transition.
Yes. Well, if you're communicating from your mind or your brain, then you're not really connecting with people. There's a saying in the Torah, and it says, words that come from the heart touch the heart. And I know in my own life that if I am talking from my mind, the other person is not really feeling it, and it's not really sinking in. But if I really speak from my heart, then people will feel it because it's resonating with their hearts. And real communication really takes place from heart to heart. And to answer your first question, I had to go through an incredible journey in order to create this movie and this book, because it took me 5 years, and especially, you know, producing a movie like this is incredibly difficult for many reasons. And I had no background in film production, and I had no experience, but I had nothing else in a way to rely on my own heart's intuition. And that was actually an advantage because it forced me to develop my heart's intuition. So if you don't have anything else to rely on, then intuition is your only resource. And that's what happened to me in this project.
Hmm. Well, you could have gone a traditional route. You were trained as an attorney, however. Yes. And what, you were up late one night, I think you have that in the introduction, and you tuned into a course by Eckhart Tolle with Oprah?
Yes, exactly. That's what happened. So I had to make a decision. I was about to sign a lucrative contract with a big international law firm, and it just didn't feel right. I just said, okay, you know, for my mind, this is a great opportunity, and a lot of people, you know, would almost die for it. But it didn't feel right, and I thought, okay, I need to figure out what I want with my life as soon as possible. And one night I couldn't sleep, and I saw a web class on my laptop, and it was hosted by Oprah Winfrey, and she was in conversation with Eckhart Tolle. And Oprah said something that changed my life. She said, I think there's nothing more important than finding your life's purpose. And for me, that was like magic, because it was exactly what I was looking for, my purpose in life. And then Eckhart replied, he said, if you want to find your purpose in life, then you can ask yourself, what do I want from life? But a more powerful question would be, what does life want from me? And he also said, you know, you can't get to the answers by thinking. You can't get there through thinking. And he said, in order to find the answer, is you have to find moments of stillness. So the next day, I went into the park with this question. And I was meditating on this question while I was walking. I said, what does life want from me? What does life want from me? What does life want from me? And I did that for over an hour, and nothing really happened. And I was like, oh, it's not working. And I was confused because it was not working. But all of a sudden, it started to rain. I had to hide, and I was hiding under trees. When I was standing under those trees, my heart completely opened, and it felt like a bone was breaking in my heart. And I, of course, I know I have no bones in my heart, but it just felt like a bone was breaking. And there was this very overwhelming feeling, and it was very powerful. And I started to cry, and I was crying, and the rain was pouring on me through the trees, and I was crying, and I just knew that I had to make a movie about the heart. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I knew it was, again, because this feeling was extremely powerful, and it felt like coming home. So I just knew, okay, this is what I should do. And of course, from my mind's perspective, this was crazy, because I had no background in filmmaking, I didn't know anything about the heart, but the emotion was so strong that I just knew that this is what I had to do. So that's how it started.
That's the quality that you encounter when you do move from your heart. You have, like you said, the feeling was extremely powerful.
Yes.
It's like a knowing or a click or okay, you can go do other things if you want, but that's not what you're really supposed to be doing, kind of feeling.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we're all looking for.
Yeah.
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 And we don't get there through thinking. It's impossible. We have to experience it. We have to feel the aliveness. Uh-huh. And, you know, people ask me, yeah, what does it mean to follow your heart? And the best way of explaining it is You have to find the aliveness. You have to ask yourself in every moment, where is the aliveness now? What makes, you know, what is the aliveness? It is so important to find that. And we have forgotten that because we're too much in our minds.
So you're saying, where is the aliveness in me? Where is the aliveness in my life? What do you mean by where is the aliveness?
I think the heart is the center of our aliveness. And, you know, you can make, you know, if you have to make a decision in your life, you can make a list with pros and cons.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can really look at it from your mind, and it's good to do that, I think. But it also has to feel right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know how it feels when something feels right. We all know mm-hmm. it. But, you know, and you can also describe it because it feels like peace. It feels like love. It feels really powerful. It feels like a knowing. It feels like coming home. We all know it, but somehow we've lost that communication with our, you know, with our soul, with our heart, with our higher mm-hmm. self, because mm-hmm. we are so invested in television and what's going on in the world and with the economy, and we don't spend time with ourselves. We don't learn the language of the heart. We don't learn the whispers of our soul. We don't know how to listen to that anymore because there's so much distraction.
Well, I hear the distraction issue, but I wanted to ask you another one.
Yes.
Since I'm interested in the emotions,
yes.
It strikes me that for many generations, we've been telling people to push their emotions aside. And as I was reading your book, a lot of people say we know what's in the heart through our emotions. So, and it also, at least by my observation with who's coming to me to be on the program and so forth, this being my 11th year, a lot of people are now opening up to emotions where they weren't open even in the 1980s and early 90s. People were not focusing there. So, the question I have is, do you think the emotions, our waking up to our emotions, are going to allow us to open our heart, and do you think it's time for all of us to open our heart?
Well, this is my answer. I think it works like this. From all the interviews I've did, is that no one was really interested in their hearts. But there came a day and a crisis where they had to listen. And as long as you don't have to, as long as you're not forced into it, as long as you don't feel drawn to it, then it's not going to happen. And there's a saying, you know, when the student is ready, the master will come. And I think mm-hmm. that's also for the heart. You know, you really, in a way, and it also happened to me, you can look for your purpose all your life. But purpose will find you if you come into your heart. And I mean by that, I think at the deepest level, the heart chooses you and says, okay, now you're ready. Now it's going to happen. And most of the time it's through a crisis. And I'm not saying that we need that crisis, because I know there are a lot of people who are drawn to this without a crisis. But there has to be a deep, deep, deep inner thirst to connect with your heart. It's like, you know, when you are in the desert and you didn't drink for a long time and I come to you with water, you're not going to say, oh, is it sparkling water? Otherwise, I don't want it. No, you're just very thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
And something inside of you has to say, I need to connect with this. And it is oftentimes through a crisis where you say, oh, all the conventional skills I've learned are not working anymore. I need something else. I need another resource. And
right.
That's how it happens.
As a therapist, I have yeah. worked with something I've learned to call the identity crisis process, which
yes.
I actually went through myself many years ago, and I had a wonderful therapist who guided me. And it is exactly what you're talking about, where we are living our lives and then something changes that's really significant. And every way that we've tried to make sense of our life falls apart, so we can't rely on it anymore, and we're forced to make changes. Is that the same kind of talk
Exactly, because you are not consciously inviting a crisis into your life. You would never say, oh, give me that crisis.
Yeah, right.
But in a way, the heart, I mean, it's always very painful, but the heart says, on a deeper level, it says, give me more, give me more, give me more, because that's how, you know, that's how a muscle grows, you know. The tissue has to break, and then a muscle can grow, and that's, I think, how the heart grows, too, through experience. And sometimes, you know, from our mind's perspective, it's bad and it's suffering, but it's there to grow into our heart.
That's really wonderful. When I went through that process, my therapist used to say that there was a deeper part of me that was in charge, because the progression through that breakdown process is pretty orderly. And as I'm talking to you, although it's scary, I'm thinking that deeper part actually is the heart. I hadn't thought of it that way before.
Yes. I think so too. I mean, the heart as the seat of our soul, our source, our connect, you know, our authentic power. Yes.
Uh-huh. You have a great quote. You're talking about how, in your book, you talk about how our heart starts beating when the embryo is still just a collection of cells. And then you have an Eckhart Tolle quote that says, the power of the heart is the power of life itself.
Yes.
This is what you're talking about here, correct?
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
Yes.
Oh, have we underestimated our heart, huh?
Yes, but I know, I mean, that people are listening to this right now, and they just can feel this conversation, because it's a hard conversation. And if your time has come, then you will feel this.
Mm.
And I just noticed there are two people. There are people who say, oh, don't say anything more. I just want to experience this. I want the book. I want to watch the movie.
Uh-huh.
And I meet them all over the world. They don't need one word. They just know.
Uh-huh.
And there are people who say, "Well, I'm not. It's not for me. I don't. You know, I'm not into it." And that's okay too. I'm not here to sell anything. I'm just here to say this is available, and if you're resonating with it, you're welcome.
Well. Just as we were starting the show, you mentioned that the book and film are out now in 65 different countries, and you're going around the world, essentially, promoting the book.
Yes.
If I were a listener to this program, how could I find your movie, The Power of the Heart?
Yeah, the best way to order the movie is to go to our website, thepowerofTheHeart.com. That's the best way to order the movie. You can also purchase the movie on iTunes. And the book is also available on our website, thepowerofTheHeart.com, but it's also available in your local bookstore right now and on Amazon.com.
Great. So, I love the way this works. I've been studying with some people who say when you do something that is really good for you, when it comes from your heart, when it feels right for you, it will also benefit others. And that's what you've done with this project.
Yes. Well, when I started this project, you know, I'm a very practical guy. So I was, you know, why learn something if you can't apply it? And I was really only interested in improving my life and fixing my life, because I didn't know what to do with my life. And I said, okay, I want to interview all those people, because, you know, this intuitive pull is coming through me that I should do this, because I asked this question, what does life want from me? And I said, oh my God, this is going to be my journey. I'm going to interview all those people, and I'm going to make it as practical and accessible as possible. So I said to them, listen, if the heart is really a source of wisdom and intelligence, then tell me how I should live from that space, and also tell me how this is going to improve my career, my health, my relationships, my financial status, you know. So I was really coming from a very practical, earthly place when I interviewed them. And they all realized that the heart has been described in all spiritual traditions and religions as a source of wisdom and intelligence. And, of course, we are not able to speak to Jesus or to Lao Tzu or to the Buddha anymore. So I said, okay, the people that I'm interviewing are the authorities right now in our world, and they are authors. People like Paulo Coelho and Eckhart Tolle and Deepak Chopra and Dr. Maya Angelou and Jane Goodall, they are the authorities right now on this subject matter. And the remarkable thing that really happened, and now I'm answering your question, is that I started talking from, you know, the personal point of view. If we're going to live from the heart, how is this going to improve my life and then, you know, the lives of individuals? But they said, and that's, I think, the reason why they decided to participate in this project. They said, it's perfectly okay to look at how it's going to change your personal life and how it's going to change the personal lives of every person. But the heart is, if we're going to live from the heart, then it's also going to influence the humanity. It's going to influence the world. It's going to have a ripple effect on everyone, because if one person is living and working from their heart, then it's going to have a ripple effect and it's going to influence everyone else. And the heart has a different perspective on things. And I think the best way of saying it is if you're on a river, you know, the heart can see the whole, you know, the mind can only see the next bend on the river, and the heart can see the whole journey. And it also works for the individual person, because the individual person is first only mind-oriented and only interested in the next bend on the river, but the heart is really interested in the bigger picture, in the whole journey from source to sea, and it also takes into account the interest of the whole of humanity. So I think in that way, if an individual starts to live from the heart, then it also, you know, everyone is going to benefit, and that's exactly what is also happening with this project. I started it for myself. And during the project, I transformed and I started to live from the heart. And now people are, you know, touched by that.
Well,
yeah.
What a profound statement. I was having this thought as you were talking of, what if everybody who read the book decided, okay, I'll start working from my heart right now. That would be such a profound shift. I wonder how we would accommodate.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
Because I have it too. I mean, I have a wonderful time here in the Bay Area right now, and I had a wonderful time in Germany, because people are coming to me. They see the movie and they start crying, and they want to share their stories. I get incredible stories.
Wow.
It opens up people. People come to me, and I had a brain tumor. And there's a story of someone who has a brain tumor in a movie. Oh, my God, my daughter just died, and it's in the movie. And I get other stories. You know, people come to me, and they say, I'm from Eastern Europe, and they sold me when I was 14. Mm-hmm. And somehow, you know, if you are showing yourself, other people feel free enough to also show their real, you know, their true identity.
Mm-hmm.
Something inside them gives them permission to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And then we really connect. And then it's not just the mask that, you know, or the front that we put up all day. Then we have real contact. And it is about vulnerability, because, you know, you have to show who you really are, and not, oh, I'm so and so. No, you. This is who you are, and this is what you've been through. And I think that, I mean, people have a need right now to be authentic and to speak and live from that place more than ever. Mm. I think, and I that's why I think it's doing so well.
Hmm. That's interesting. Michael Brown, who wrote a book called The Presence Process, and it's published by Namaste, the same as Eckhart Tolle.
Yeah.
He wrote about intimacy, and I love his wordplay. He calls it into me and see.
Yes.
And his point is that all of our intimacy is actually a practice for becoming intimate with that which is larger. And
yes.
your words strike me as saying that also.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I think we're starting to see that we're more than just a body, that there's more than what we perceive through the five senses.
Mm.
And it is what we've been looking for all along, really, but we don't realize it. Because if you look, you know, through the five senses, you think, oh, it's more money or more status or more stuff. And, you know, Jim Carrey, you know, said it beautifully. Jim Carrey, the actor, he said, I wish everybody could become rich and famous. Then they would realize that it's not the answer. And we are looking for something deeper. We are looking for something more profound. And if we're there, we just know. And we're like, wow, this is it.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful. And I feel completely fulfilled.
It's so wonderful, too. I wrote a series of books for parents in the early 1990s. They're manuals that help parents to teach their children about emotions.
Yes.
And one of them was about love. And I came across some material as I was researching that says it doesn't matter if you love yourself or you love somebody else. It matters that you choose love.
Yes.
And which is a matter of the heart. And I decided to do that. So that would be like in 1994. And I cannot believe the change in my life. You're traveling now. Just a few weeks back, I was in Ireland traveling. Ireland's a friendly, wonderful place. But every place I went, everywhere I went, people were kind and loving and warm and so forth. And as I was discussing with somebody, maybe 20 years ago, my life did not run like that. When I'd go on a trip, I'd be like a lot of other people I hear, which is, oh, I had a trouble with this person, and could you believe how rude that agent was or whatever. But I don't have that anymore because I run more from my heart.
Hmm. Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, I know. I mean, what I wanted to say is, every day I have to work at it. Every day I have to go to the heart. When you know, my heart can be completely open right now, and I you know, tonight I can go to bed and say, oh, I'm there. I'm in my heart. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow morning I have to wake up and I have to do the work again.
Uh-huh.
Every day you have to work at it. And I think Ram Dass said it beautifully. He said, every time I'm still annoyed by George Bush, I know I have to work on myself.
Uh-huh.
And I know exactly what he is saying, because everything is a mirror.
Uh-huh.
And we just, I mean, our primary purpose, I think, is working on our own alignment with our heart. And from there on, everything else flows. You know, there's a saying in the Bible, first seek the kingdom of heaven within, and then all else will be added. And I really believe from own experience that this is true.
I know
this is true, yeah.
It's time for our first break. And when we come back, I want you to talk to us about exactly how one goes, what is the work that you do each morning? How does one align with one's heart?
Yes.
Okay.
Love to do that.
So I'm talking today with Baptiste Dupap, who is author of The Power of the Heart, Finding Your True Purpose in Life. He's also the filmmaker of a film called The Power of the Heart. So when we return, we're going to be talking about exactly how you can align with your heart. We'll be right back.
Difficult is it for you to ask directly for what you really want? To take responsibility graciously and willingly for your mistakes? or to relate with others because it's fun instead of because you need something from them. Most people believe manipulation and codependence are normal behaviors for adults. They may be common, but they're not normal. Manipulative behaviors really are designed to be part of childhood, to be put away as things of the past when we become adults. So, if you're ready to let manipulation and codependence be part of your past, then get the mini course I've created for you, Ending Codependence, The Bottom Line. I'm Eileen Dillon, the Emotional Pro, offering you a formula that you can follow for creating healthy, manipulation-free, and lasting intimate relationships. I also give you the tools and principles that you can use to develop lasting immunity to codependence. Get Ending Codependence today at www.emotionalpro.com. That's emotionalpro.com.
Welcome back to Full Power Living. I have a few announcements. We're nearing the end of 2014, which is a time we traditionally turn over a new leaf. And to help you with this task, our show next week features a trained Accessing Universal Intelligence mentor who will be here to assist you to get the answers you need from your own higher self. You can get help with what you need to do to end your writer's block or improve your relationships or find the job or partner that you want or work out issues between you and your child or teenager. So be sure to join me next Thursday, which is December 18th, 9 a.m. Pacific time for our Ask UI program, and call in early in the show to make sure that you get the answers that you seek. I also invite you to sign up at emotionalpro.com for our mailing list. We'll send you a biweekly announcement of our upcoming Full Power Living programs and also information on the projects in which I'm involved, such as the CCFL Academy, which is Creating Champions for Life Academy, and Accessing Universal Intelligence. Please sign up today at emotionalpro.com. And let me just point out that in February and March, we're doing a major focus on addictions and addiction recovery and new ways for us to move out of addictions that have been opening up recently. Belgium-born attorney, filmmaker, and author Baptiste Dupap is my guest today. He's the director of a movie and author of a book by the same name, which is The Power of the Heart. So, Baptiste, before we had our break, you were talking about the work that you do every morning, and you talked about aligning with our heart. And I'd like you to tell our listeners, how do you do that?
That's such an important question, and that's been one of the main questions when I've interviewed all those people.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I'm also so important, so grateful that I have been able to write a book, because this is what happened. I interviewed Jane Goodall, and she says to me, the way for me to connect with my heart is to be in nature, and I've been fortunate to be in nature. And I interview Eckhart Tolle, and he says, the way to connect with your heart is to be in the present moment. And Paulo Coelho says, you have to feel the enthusiasm and follow what brings you joy. And Mark Nepo says, you know, you have to follow the aliveness. And Isabel Allende says, I feel it when I write and when I play with my dog or when I make love to my husband. Mm-hmm. And they all have different ways of connecting with their hearts. And then I thought, oh, they're all saying something different. But then I realized we have to listen to it and look for what resonates with us, to look for what works for us. And it's good that they are sharing how they are connecting with their hearts, because then we can look at it and say, this is my cup of coffee. This is what works for me. This is also my experience. And it's you know, so I'm not going to say there is one way. And I know people who say, okay, if I'm going into nature and I have a walk for 1 hour, then I'm in my heart. And there are other people say, oh, when I just play with my dogs, when I feel sad and I just playing with my dogs for 30 minutes, then my heart is open. And there are other people saying, okay, meditation. But I think we should search for what is working for us. Because that's why not everybody is meditating, because a lot of people say, I cannot sit still and meditate. It's not working. Yet that's because it's not for you. And you should do something else in order to tap into your heart.
So that's something I didn't actually get as I was reading the book, but it's really clear now.
Yeah.
When you have so many different people that you've interviewed, what you've really done is provide, if you will, a blueprint or a way for every different kind of person, because
exactly.
Every one of the people that you interview has a different way of connecting
yes.
with their heart.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. The most important thing is to realize that nobody can tell you what you should do. There's no guru in the world that can tell you what you should do. You can listen and say, it resonates with me, but the only guru you should listen to is your own heart. From all the gurus I've interviewed, I realized that my own heart is the most important one. And your intuition speaks to you in its very own way. It may make you feel uncomfortable or irritable, but it's looking for your attention. And it's true. That's why I think it's such a... It's a book that can really help you, because it can help you to identify what works for you.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the risk of boring some of my listeners, because I know they've heard this story before, I just briefly tell you that one of the stories I've told for many years, my son is now 37 years old, but when he was 8, he was caught...
I'm 37 as well, so that's...
Oh, are you really? Oh, that's right, you were born in 77, same year. When he was 8, so when you were 8, he was caught stealing a candy bar in a convenience store, and when he came home, I told him, oh, I understand today's the day you decided to learn about stealing, and he told me that what he'd learned so far is that stealing isn't worth it. And while I was pleased with that, I'd never known him to steal before, so I asked him what happened, and he said there were two boys that had said it was fun, and he should do it. And he got caught, and they didn't. And so I redefined it, and I said, oh, you mean there were these two voices outside of you saying it would be fun, and you did what they said. Was there ever any other voice? And he said yes, that it was his voice, and it said, don't do it. It's not a good idea.
Mm.
So I asked him if he could go back and live today over, would he make the same choice or would he make a different choice? And he said he would make a different choice. He would listen to his own voice and not to voices coming from outside of him.
Mm.
In which case, I was able to tell him that I was very proud of him. I thought he'd had a really productive day.
Mm.
But that helped him, didn't it? That was his heart talking to him. I'd never seen it that way before. And by the way, he never stole again.
Mm. Well, we've got a story exactly like this in the movie.
Ah.
And the person, she learns that no matter what someone else is saying, in this case it was her family and it was her father, I have to listen to my heart. The heart is really the only thing I can trust. There's no other authority in your life, but we give our power away. And your story is the same. It's the same story. And it's a very powerful learning experience.
It really is. Now, you just alluded to authenticity, and in your book you talk about authentic power. And I know you have many definitions, but can you just define for us overall what is authentic power? Gary Zukav talks a lot about it, I think.
Yes, Gary Zukav calls it the alignment of your personality with your soul. That's what Gary Zukav calls authentic power. And I think authentic power is the alignment with your heart, with your source, with your higher self, with your core being.
Oh. And
to live from that place.
And so that, I mean, another thing that's brought up in your book is how important it is to align ourselves with positive emotions, that they, they're the core of our authentic power.
Yes. Yeah, our authentic power is, it's love, it's gratitude, it's compassion, it's reverence for life. It's also deep understanding of why we're here. And yeah, we have to cultivate that. We have to work on that every day. I mean, it's like two dogs, you know. One dog is fear and one dog is love. Who are you going to feed?
Mm-hmm.
And we have to work at it every day. Because, you know, I can wake up tomorrow morning and I can be irritated and I can, you know, I go, oh, why is this happening to me? And I can feel like a victim. But then I can choose to say, okay, I'm going to shift this. I don't want to be in this state. I'm going to focus on what's actually good in my life. And that's what gratitude does, for instance. It balances it, everything. Because you can say, oh, no one is supporting me. No one is helping me. No one is understanding me. But if you say to yourself, okay, let's be grateful and let's see who is supporting me, then you will always see, yes, there is someone who is not supporting me, but there is also someone who is supporting me and who is understanding me. And that's balance. And that's what gratitude does. It gives us a balanced perspective. But because when we're in negative emotions, we don't have a balanced perspective anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We think gratitude is like, woo, oh, I feel so good and I'm grateful. And no, it actually gives us more balance. It gives us a balanced perspective and we can see into things. We can see what's really going on. And we're not, you know, there's no cloud anymore in our thinking.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That's really, really true. So you also talk about intention and intuition and synchronicity.
Yes,
which,
they're all connected.
Yeah, talk to me about that, how they're connected.
Mm. I think it works like this. The most important thing, you know, for instance, if you want something, for instance, let's say I want, if I ask you, what do you want, and you say, I want a lot of money, then I will ask you, why do you want a lot of money? And I think it's really important for everything that we want is that we first distinguish where this wanting, where this intention is coming from. Is it coming from our mind? Is it coming from our ego, our personality, or is it coming from our heart? And I've learned that if your intention is really coming from your core, from your heart, then it will feel like, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. Then it will feel like coming home. And what also will happen is that you will be connected to your intuition. You will have guidance. And what that means is that you will know what you need to do if you're really connected with that intention from your heart. You will know what you need to do when your heart is open, and you will meet the right people, and you will have the support of quote unquote the universe, but you will feel that you are carried. And what that means is, if you listen to your heart's intuition because you are fulfilling your heart's intention, then because you listen to your heart's intention and you hear your heart's intuition, you will experience the synchronicities. Because, you know, if you are thinking about John and 5 minutes later he's calling you, you say, oh, what a coincidence, oh, what a synchronicity. No, it's not a synchronicity. It happened. You were thinking of him because you were already tapped into your intuition, and then afterwards you call it a synchronicity. But synchronicity is always happening due to intuition. So that's how they are aligned. Intention comes first. When you're living from your heart's intention, then your intuition will work. If you're living from your heart's intention, then intuition will come into play because your higher self, your soul, is involved. And if you live from your intuition, then the synchronicities will come because you are listening to that voice that sees things from a different picture, and that's not living from a logical, linear, rational place.
Mm-hmm. So, as a group, we human beings are in the midst of making a really profound change.
Yes, we're in the midst of an evolution. Yeah.
Yeah. And I've been thinking a lot as you were talking. Some time back, I interviewed Richard Blackstone, who wrote a book about nuts and bolts spirituality, and he talks about our vision of God, that our traditional vision of God or a concept of God is someone who's in judgment of us and separate from us,
yes,
but who's also loving. And the what he calls version two God is one that we are part of, that we are here expressing on behalf of. We're not separate from, and that God is not in judgment. And as I talk with you, it sounds a bit like what we're really doing now, and there's no question about whether we're going forward with it, is we are finding God within ourselves.
That's the only place where he is.
I agree, but there are people that would argue with you otherwise.
Yeah, but you are, I mean, come on. If you think God is outside of you, you're giving your power away.
Yes.
I mean, who is he? Is he some guy in heaven with a big beard?
Uh-huh.
No, he's inside you. He's in your heart. And that's where you need to listen to.
Yes. Well, I used to belong to the Spiritualist Church, and they had a wonderful quote I like, that God is ever equal to your understanding.
That's so true. Yeah.
Yeah. So focusing on money or being wealthy, you've talked about a Jim Carrey, for example. That's not really where we want to go, but in your book, when you write about money, most of the people you interview say something like, fulfill the purpose of your heart, and money is most likely to follow.
Yes. Well, they stretch our concept of abundance. They say, well, abundance is really in you being one with the heart. Abundance is, I mean, you can have a lot of stuff, a lot of money, and still be completely disconnected. Where is the abundance there? If you look at a body, a human body, and a human body is brought alive by a soul, I think the highest form of abundance in a human body is complete alignment with your soul, with your higher self, with the God source in you, and not in owning a lot of stuff. It's ridiculous that we still believe that owning a lot of stuff is abundance. It's mm-hmm. not. It's in the alignment with our source, with our heart, that the abundance is. And from there on, all the other things will come to us.
Mm-hmm.
If they are necessary for our development, then they will come to us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are so doing-oriented, and I think being is much more important than doing, because if we are fully aligned, then there will be an intuitive impulse. There will be an inspired action coming to us. So if we focus more on our alignment with our source, with our heart, then all the other things will fall into place, and we mm-hmm. will do the right thing at the right time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a small example of that when I took my trip to Ireland this year, in that I didn't have a lot of extra money to work with, but it really felt right for me to go.
Mm.
And I had people offering me free places to stay as I went. And I was traveling with my 8-year-old granddaughter as well.
Yeah, and you met wonderful people because of that. And you wouldn't
absolutely.
Have met them if you would have been in hotels.
Absolutely. Exactly what happened. And yeah. so you know, when I got one invitation that said, I run a bed and breakfast and we'd like to have you come here, I went, okay, this is my affirmation that I'm on the right track here.
Yes, and you have stretched your definition of abundance right there.
Wow. Well, it's getting time for us to wrap up. I really like the quote that you included from John Wesley because it kind of summarized a lot of the things. The quote is, do all the good you can,
yes,
by all the means you can,
yes,
in all the ways you can,
yes,
in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long ever as you can. I just love that.
It's true. Yeah, it's very powerful.
Yes. So we're constantly focusing on good, and what an upliftment that is to realize that there is a part of ourselves that is good. I mean, I've come to the conclusion, I don't even work in terms of good and bad, but there's something really positive about this type of good that we're talking about.
Yes, yes, and it's showing us what we're capable of if we listen.
Mm.
Yes, but we should really listen and not put our voice in it. You know, sometimes there's this voice talking, and that's not our heart. Our heart is really a clear signal.
Yes.
Very clear, very calming, very peaceful. Very loving.
So before we sign off, do you have a message you would like people to remember as they move past this show? What statement do you want them to have ringing in their heads?
I think that you are here to learn to trust what moves you most deeply. And I would like to emphasize that for everyone. Trust what moves you most deeply. Search for the aliveness in every moment. And that's the way to connect with your heart. And you will know when you're there. And if you don't know, you're not there yet. And you every day you have to work at it. It's not like, oh, I'm in my heart, and then, boom, everything flows. No, every day you wake up and you start from zero. And that's why life is so meaningful, and that's why we grow, and that's how we learn.
But may I add, there's something about when we say you have to wake up and work on it. It's a joyful kind of work, is it not?
Yes. But sometimes I just notice that sometimes, and I'm talking for myself, it is good to be humble to that source. Don't get complacent. I sometimes notice that, you know, you just have to be present all the time. Mark Nepo beautifully said it. You know, he survived brain tumor so many times, and he said, it really helped me to be really fully present and to work on that presence and it's not hard work, but it's more awareness work, if you understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's mm-hmm. like be aware, be as aware as you can be in every moment, be as grateful as you can be in every moment, and then magic happens. Really, magic happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the possibilities are unlimited. Don't believe anyone who's saying differently. You know, it's everywhere. You have an unlimited potential, and it's all through the heart that it manifests to you.
Wow, that's great. I know that the project itself that you have done is a demonstration of, in your life, of you are unlimited. You gained access to really incredible people, and you, you know, unfortunately, I haven't watched the movie yet, but I'm going to, for sure. But the way you write about the heart and the way you presented it inspires the reader to connect more fully with their own heart, to value the heart more, and to be uplifted by all that the people you interviewed have to say about the heart. So let me thank you, Baptiste, for listening to your own heart and creating this wonderful vehicle for other people to open up their heart.
Well, thank you so much, Eileen. It was a privilege and an honor to be on your show. Thank you so much for having
me. Great. I appreciate you being here on Full Power Living today. All right, well, keep track of your next project. Take a camera with you so you can get all these stories that people are telling you.
I will do that. Thank you so much, Eileen.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. And to you, my wonderful listener, be sure to listen next week as our Accessing Universal Intelligence mentor, yet to be named, helps you access the precise information and help you need from the highest and best part of yourself. Call into our toll-free number early so you're sure to receive the answer to your question that you seek. It'll be a great help to you as we turn over to a new year and you decide where you want to focus your own energy, intention, and attention. So that's next Thursday, December 18th at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern. Paul Johnston of Fresh Talk Media has been our producer. Thank you for your work, Paul, and thank you for the year of 2014 and all the work you've done with all our wonderful shows. For now, I'm Eileen Dillon, your host, reminding you to pay attention not to what you want to overcome, but to what you want to become.
Full Power Living with Eileen Dillon.